We'll see, but we will see the beginning of the Olympics. That's for sure, right? The Beijing Olympics were just days away, essentially. And as the countdown races towards the very first event at the Beijing Olympics today, a BBC investigation has uncovered questions about how the track cycling sport of Keirin managed to make its way into the Games and whether it was a few million dollars that helped pave the way. Keirin's a Japanese sport you may or may not have heard of that began in 1948. It's a short sprint race where riders can go more than 40 miles an hour, and it's a popular betting sport which landed in the Olympics in 2000. BBC correspondent Matt McGrath joins us now with his report. Welcome, Matt.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
What did you uncover in your investigation?
We've been looking into allegations that the choice of the Keirin as an Olympic event wasn't all down to its sporting merits. The race, as you say, has been hugely successful, but specifically Japanese for decades. And as you say, it's been quite rich as well. They allow a lot of betting on races and they gain a lot of revenue from that. In the 1980s, the Japanese successfully lobbied cycling's world governing body, they're called the UCI, to get them into the World Championships, which they did. And in 1996, the Japanese lobbied the UCI to get into the Olympics, which they did. But in the years that have intervened, there have been a number of allegations that have kept surfacing that the Japanese had provided large amounts of money to the UCI. Now we've been provided with documents that show that this is the case.
And what kind of documents do you have, and what exactly do you believe they show?
Okay, the documents we've got include contracts drawn up between the UCI and the Japanese that say they take into account the special relationship that the UCI has with the Olympic movement. The contract stipulates the amount of money the Japanese will then pay. We also have detail on what the actual money was spent on. These include paying for flights for UCI officials, including the president, Hein Verbruggen. In one six-month period, the Japanese paid for five flights for Mr. Verbruggen to the Netherlands for UCI business. A source who was within the UCI at the time says that these payments were for activities the UCI should have been paying for themselves, and the source says that it was purely a way of getting money into the UCI in return for promoting the Keirin into the Olympics.
Now, you mentioned former UCI president Hein Verbruggen. He's actually now the chairman of the organizing committee for the Beijing Olympics. What's his response to these allegations?
As you say, yes, he is one of the most powerful men in world sport, organizing the Olympics in Beijing, and also a former head of the UCI cycling body. He strenuously denies any wrongdoing. And of course, I must add, there is no evidence that he personally profited in any way from this transaction. But he says that the money was all legitimately done, legitimately accounted for. It was a legitimate arrangement. Everything was open and transparent. And, you know, that this was a perfectly normal arrangement in these circumstances.
And what do you think the implications are for the Olympics? Does it really raise questions about access and the legitimacy and credibility of the sports that are participating?
I think it does raise some questions, particularly about access and how you get in and out of the Games. The Olympics are very good, and they've learned down the years to be very good. If a new sport wants to get in, say baseball or rugby or some sport that's new, they vet the process very carefully. But if a sport is already established, like cycling or athletics, and they want to change one of the running orders in their sport and put in a new event that's slightly different from another one, they don't get the same vetting process. The Olympics just want to know, are there going to be costs for the organisers, or are there going to be more competitors? If those questions are answered okay, then they don't have a major investigative process. And this is a bit of a loophole. We've seen this with the Keirin. You'd have thought maybe that the IOC, having had a lot of scandals back in the 80s and 90s,
exactly,
with Salt Lake City and all that, that they might have actually learned to tighten up their procedures. But in this case, it doesn't seem to be the case. And we don't know how many other sporting events or sports could have used their financial leverage to get their way into the Games.
You know, Matt, I want to ask you a question that's more about the culture of the Olympics and the culture of betting. I know it's not the focus of your investigation, but I mean, you know, it's not unknown for people to bet on sports in the Olympics. And I'm wondering if betting becomes something of an incentive to bring sports onto the Olympic stage. And that in this particular case, that might have had something to do with what went on.
It's hard to know with regards to the Keirin. I think a lot of what was specifically about the Keirin was about prestige. It is a hugely gambling-driven race in Japan. There's no doubt about that, and it makes a lot of money from that. In the rest of the world, track cycling doesn't have as much of a gambling culture. It isn't. People don't bet on it as much. I think the motivation for Japan wanting their race into the Olympics was purely prestige. whether or not then it would attract more riders that would come and make their races in Japan more competitive and enhance the gambling opportunities there, I don't know. Gambling on Olympic events, at least in Europe and from a European perspective, isn't really a huge thing either. So I don't know if gambling has played a big part in it. I do know that prestige and being seen as a global sport was very much a part of this.
It's interesting to think about, that's for sure.
Matt McGrath, many thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Matt McGrath, he's a correspondent for the BBC World Service, bringing us a report about keirin, the Japanese cycling sport now in the Olympics.
Ever played jax?
As in bounce
jax,
the ball,
you know, bounce
pick
the ball,
up
pick
a jack?
Up a jax.
Yes,
yeah.
I
How
have.
Much do you think it would cost to pay to get jax into the Olympics? There's a takeaway question
More
for you.
More than you and I have, I think.
If you would like a sport in the Olympics, what would you pay to put in the Olympics? More seriously, we're actually talking about pardons. Who would you pardon? The Bush administration is actually preparing a list to look at of people to pardon in the waning days of the administration. Presidents have the power to pardon. Who do you think either should be pardoned? Or who would you pardon if you had the ultimate power?
And did you know something that's interesting? Mm-hmm. It's not only people who put in an application to get pardoned. The president can pardon anybody he wants to who's been convicted of a federal crime. So he may be considering people who are not even put themselves on that list.
I may be speaking out of turn, but I think there's even some sort of constitutional discussion over whether a president can pardon him or herself.
That's an interesting one.
The power is so unrestricted.
Likely, you're not likely to still be in office, though, if you're convicted of a felony.
Well, it's an interesting
it's
point.
It's called impeachment.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
If you're out of office, then, you know, that's what happened to Nixon. More about that later.
Yeah.